Welcome to Eye on Oakland. I'm Chuck Moss, your host, coming here to the magic of remoteness TV. We have a great guest, one of our favorite people, Craig Bryson, from the Road Commission for Oakland County. What's the title? Communications Director?
What? Senior Communications Manager.
Senior Communications Manager. So let's just start out. There are a lot of people don't even know what the Road Commission is. It's sort of an invisible layer of government. What is the Oakland County Road Commission?
That's a great question. So we maintain the largest county road system in the state of Michigan. That's 2,700 miles of roads. That is virtually all the roads in the townships in Oakland County, except state highways, and many of the main roads in the cities and villages, mile roads and main north-south roads, but not the neighborhood streets in cities and villages. We do everything from building roads to reconstructing and repaving roads, to winter maintenance, which is salting and plowing, to grading gravel roads, re-graveling gravel roads, pothole patching, drainage repair and maintenance, picking up litter along the roads. We also serve as a contractor to the Michigan Department of Transportation. That means that we maintain all of the approximately 300 miles of state highways in Oakland County. So we do the plowing and salting on those roads. That's all the IM and US routes, the freeways, M15, I-75, I-696, I-96, M5, M59. We plow and salt those. We pothole patch on those. We replace signs, and we manage all of the traffic signals for both MDOT and virtually all the cities and villages, as well as our own traffic signals in Oakland County. That's about 1,500 traffic signals we maintain, as well as that nearly 3,000 miles of roads in the county.
So all the traffic signals on Woodard Avenue going up and down, that's you guys, right?
Right. We maintain those on MDOT owns those. We maintain them on their behalf. In the case of the MDOT signals, they determine the signal timing. We apply it for them and then maintain the signals, replace bulbs that go out. If something of a pole gets hit or something, we work with MDOT and the utility companies to replace the pole and get things back up and running.
Now, I know that the timing on those, that's not your issue. And I can tell you how fast you have to go from 9 Mile to Square Lake and hit all the lights. I've mastered that skill. And I will tell you this, it does not involve going the speed limit. Therein lies the same. So before we get started, because everybody always wants to know, the one question is blizzards, snowstorms. How do you do that? I mean, we always think it must be like, movies of the Battle of Britain. Everybody, and everybody runs out and jumps in their cars and trucks and goes on out. How do you decide how to keep roads open during a blizzard?
Well, it is a sort of like the battle scene, but the decision is a tough one. And what we do is we have a rotating management person who is assigned for 1 week periods, rotating throughout the winter. And for that 1 week period, their job is to monitor the weather. We have our own contracted weather services. We work closely with the National Weather Service and their White Lake Station, White Lake Township Station. We watch the local media weather reports. And, based on all that information, we have remote weather sensing stations in the county, and then make the decision when is the best time to call in the drivers and the trucks. And the challenge is you don't want to call them in too soon because they're sitting there doing nothing at a price tag of about $35,000 an hour. But you don't want to call them in too late either. We want to be there ideally right when the snowflakes start so we can begin to salt as the snow is hitting the road and potentially turning to ice. And then we have a very thick set of guidelines that outline the coverage we provide based on the time of the day of the week, the intensity of the storm. So for example, for a storm that hits leading up to a weekday rush hour, we're going to have a much heavier coverage than if the storm hits in the middle of the night on a weekend night. We'll still cover, but we won't have as many trucks in. Another factor that we call them the snow duty officer, and another factor the snow duty officer has to take into consideration is the duration of the storm. We have finite numbers of human beings, finite numbers of trucks, and we have to space those resources out. So if we have a storm that's likely to last, you know, 3, 4, 5, sometimes longer days, including the cleanup, we want to make sure we have enough people still able to work on the 5th and 6th day that we can staff those trucks and have them out on the road doing the cleanup following a big storm.
Now, is there, I've become very acutely sensitized to this, having lived in the state for so long, is that you bring a plow and then a salt? I mean, how do you know what temperatures to put salt down, whatnot? Because it's not as easy as it sounds.
Absolutely. And salt works ideally above 20 degrees, between 20 and 32 degrees is where that's the perfect temperature for salt. When you hit 20 degrees and start going down from there, the salt begins to lose its effectiveness. You get below 10 degrees and it's virtually ineffective. We'll still try to salt sometimes if we have no other options between, say, 6 and 7 and 10, but you get into those single digits and it's doing very little. Now, we've brought that number down in recent years by adding liquid brine to the salt. That's naturally occurring salt water we pump out of the ground at our own pumps, wells around the county. And each truck is equipped with brine tanks that spray that brine onto the rock salt as it comes out of the back of the trucks. And that causes the salt to activate more quickly. And it also allows it to work better at slightly lower temperatures. So we've lowered that threshold a little bit, but there's still a point beyond which the salt really does not do anything.
So, and of course, salt, brine, all that, it's not free. You have to pay for it. You have to have it up front. And do you guys do any prediction? I mean, I don't know if anybody can predict it. You're starting in October. How long and how severe the winter is going to be, so you don't run out of salt in March?
We do. And what we do is look at five-year averages. We have a rolling monitoring of the five-year averages. So we order our salt. We go out for bid every year for salt. And we get our salt contract based on, you know, the extremes of the last 5 years. So we want to make sure we have a contract that allows for as much salt as the worst case scenario we've seen in the last 5 years, or as light as we've seen. And that has worked very well. Our salt contract also allows for contingencies. If we go beyond that extreme case, they'll continue to sell us at X rate. And the way it works is we have 6 salt storage facilities around the county. When they're completely full, we can store about 37,000 tons of salt. Our 5-year average right now is about 65,000 tons of salt a year. So the contract says that we'll be resupplied on a daily basis as needed once that initial 37,000 starts to get down. And then the salt trucks come and deliver salt to all of our salt facilities. And interestingly, in recent years, the low bidder has always been the Detroit Salt Company, which mines the salt from below all of us in Southeast Michigan. There's a massive salt mine under the city of Detroit that spreads out for miles.
I've always wanted to visit that and never put it together. And I really like to see that. But at any rate, so now the roads you're talking about are under the Road Commission's authority. For instance, most subdivision roads in Birmingham are not. They're part of the city. But most subdivision roads in Bloomfield Township are. That's interesting. So the Road Commission really owns most of Bloomfield Township roads?
That is correct. However, Bloomfield Township is unique in the state of Michigan. As I'm sure you're aware, back quite a ways back, I think maybe in the 70s, there was a state law passed specifically for Bloomfield Township that allowed the township, as long as they were willing to levy a mill for roads, to do some of the maintenance on their local, i.e. subdivision roads in the township. So Bloomfield Township is the only township in Oakland County where we don't do all of the road maintenance on the subdivision roads. They actually patch the potholes and do some of the other routine maintenance on the local roads. We still do the maintenance on most of the main roads in the township. And every other township in the county, we do all of the maintenance, and the townships don't have their own DPWs. Bloomfield Township has a DPW. And again, that's unique in the state. I don't think there's any other townships in the entire state that have the same situation that Bloomfield Township has.
Well, Bloomfield Township is a township that's it's really a city, but, you know, has the advantages of the township form of government. But, you know, we all know Bloomfield Township is a big city. So, but OK, now the Road Commission, how many employees, big a budget, I'd say, obviously not big enough, but how big an operation is the Oakland County Road Commission for Oakland County?
Thank you. I believe we're at about 460 employees as of today. That has increased somewhat in recent years, but it's significantly down from where we were before the Great Recession. We were at 556 at our peak in 2007, dropped down to about 350, I think, after the Great Recession. We've come back to about, as I said, about 460. Our current budget is about $190 million this year. The biggest source of our revenue is the state road funding generated by state fuel taxes, the gas tax and the diesel tax, as well as the vehicle registration fees, which your license plate fees when you renew your tabs on your car. We are, as I said, we're primarily funded by state dollars. We do not receive directly any local property tax funding. That's something that many people don't realize. That people will always tell us, we pay a lot of property taxes, you know, my road should be fixed. And we understand that, but we don't get any of those property taxes. We also get some revenue from the federal government that is generated from the federal gas tax as well. But that's allocated on a project by project basis in the form of federal grants for specific projects.
Yeah, well, you know, your property taxes go to a lot of other things, you know, the libraries and transit and schools and all that. It doesn't go to, and the gas tax doesn't go, by the way, to roads either. It goes to schools. So yeah, that's to get there. Now, we're going to run out of just real quick because we're going to run out of time for this segment. But, who decides stop signs, traffic control devices, speed limits? Do you guys do that, or is that statewide?
We do that, but there are national guidelines, for example, for where a stop sign is appropriate or a yield sign or a traffic signal. They're called warrants. You have to meet the warrants for a stop sign, for example, which is a series of 10 requirements related to traffic volume, traffic pattern, crash history, that type of thing. So, and the idea being that stop signs are not just randomly placed where they're not needed, which would cause people theoretically to ignore them. So they should be put only in places where they are really required so that people acknowledge them and stop where they're put in.
Well, I remember in my days of the Birmingham Traffic and Safety Board in the middle 90s, and yeah, if the neighbors complained, you put down a stop sign. They just did that. And then the city commission said, no more unwarranted traffic signs, stop it. So we could just say when people came and yelled at us, go blame your city commissioners. You know, they're the ones you got to yell at. And then when I got on the city commission, I got yelled at myself. But so, yes, it's is it like ASHTO warrants or I think something like that. But yes, well, you've got a big job, and we're going to be talking a little bit more about fixing. We can say the word damned roads that the governor used to. Why not? The darned roads. Anyway, we're talking with Craig Bryson, who is the senior communications manager for the Road Commission for Oakland County, or Oakland County Road Commission. I'm Chuck Moss. Don't go away. We'll be right back here on Eye on Oakland.
For decades, I've taught you everything I know. But only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Eye on Oakland. I'm Chuck Moss, and we're coming here through the magic of remote. But actually, I've gotten back into the studio building after 4 years, and boy, it's sort of like old home week here. It's wonderful. Not that it makes any difference to the show. We still have great guests, and we have one of our best guests, who is Craig Bryson, senior communications. Is it manager or director?
Manager
for the Road Commission for Oakland County, which is Oakland County Road Commission. Now, road conditions in Michigan and all, that's all we talk about. You know, first we dump salt on it, and then we let it get hot, and then we don't pay for them. You guys said for years that if we don't maintain the roads, they would all fall apart. Then they fell apart. So where are we at right now? Are we fixing the darned roads, or are they just kind of patching it? What's going on?
Well, we've been fortunate enough to make pretty good progress over the last about 7 years. As you might recall, the state legislature and the governor enacted a road funding increase in 2015 that began to take effect in 2017. It was phased in over 6 years. So I think 2022 was the final year of that new funding. With that new funding, we've put a new road surface on more than 600 miles of roads in Oakland County. So it has really made a difference, has raised the collective condition of the roads significantly. The danger now is that we face a fiscal cliff in 2025, where we risk seeing the collective condition of the roads start to again deteriorate, because the buying power of that new funding from 2015 will have been eaten up by inflation. The problem was, at the time, everybody agreed, from the governor to the legislative leaders, that the funding increase was good, but it wasn't enough to fully solve the problem. It was a good start, in the words of then Governor Snyder. Since then, we had hoped the legislature and the governor would step up and fully fund the need for roads. That has not happened. It's obviously a hard thing to do politically. But the danger is, as the benefits of that new money go away, we are going to have to cut down the number of roads we repair each year. And that's going to, again, cause the roads to start deteriorating again. You know, prior to 2015, every year the collective condition of the roads got worse and worse and worse and worse. Then they, you know, began to go up on a nice incline since 2017. And now we're going to plateau and go back down again. So we are, again, working with our friends in the legislature and the governor's office to try to hopefully persuade them to look at some new additional funding. The County Road Association of Michigan, which is the entity that represents all 83 county road agencies in the state, recently put out a report that said, in order to really repair and maintain our county roads, just the county roads, we need an additional $2.4 billion per year annually, every year, just for county roads. That doesn't include city streets or state highways. So it's a pretty big lift for our friends in Lansing. But, you know, the alternative is pretty grim as well.
It's going back to, you know, gravel roads, as we were going back before. Yes, and we are, have the Oakland has the largest number county roads. It's interesting. You think Wayne being bigger, but maybe because the city of Detroit takes up more of it, but who knows? So how do you decide, with limited amount of money, because no one has all the money they want, how do you decide which of the darned roads to fix?
That's a great question. We have a lot of criteria that we go down, but number one on that criteria is always safety. So we are constantly monitoring crash data on our roads. And so we'll identify the roads with the most crash problems. And we'll look at the crashes that occurred and say, are those something that resulted from driver error or drunk driving or something like that? Or are they related to the road? If there's something related to the road that we can address, that immediately becomes a priority for us. And so every year, that data drives the selection of the major and minor projects that we do. You know, sometimes that's as simple as changing a yield sign to a stop sign. Sometimes it's adding a turn lane at an intersection. Sometimes it's more like replacing an intersection with a roundabout or widening a road. But there are many options. But that's the number one factor. Secondly, we look at things like traffic volume and road condition. So obviously, roads in poor condition need to be addressed sooner rather than later. However, you know, high volume roads in mediocre shape will probably get addressed before low volume roads in poor conditions, because they affect more people and therefore are a greater safety issue. So those are really the big factors: safety, traffic volume, road condition. Funding is also obviously a big concern. If we've got a community in the county, a township or a city or village, that wants to partner with us and is willing to put up some money towards the project, that certainly raises the priority too. We want to leverage funding we can get from any source. So that makes it a higher priority as well.
Well, I remember, wasn't it Troy that just said, to heck with the state, let's just fix Big Beaver and get on with it. And they did. They did that partnering with you guys?
They did. And they've been a great partner. And, you know, unfortunately, they're a relatively affluent community as far as a tax base, and they're able to invest in their road system, and they're to their credit, they are willing to do that. They understand you know, without their participation, some of these projects probably would not have happened, or at least not for many, many years. So they have invested greatly in the county roads and their community, and the results are evident. You know, Big Beaver has been widened. It's been resurfaced. Traffic signals have been improved. Lots of improvements in Troy, in large part due to their willingness to ante up and help pay for those improvements.
Yeah. Now, one thing about, you know, we've got roads is they are horrendously expensive. You talk about building a road or widening it. And yeah, I remember the first time I heard the figures on how much money it would take. It's like, holy moly. It is tremendously expensive. Yeah, it's not.
It is. And it's gone up dramatically in just the last couple of years. You know, inflation obviously has been high for everything, but the costs associated with road construction have risen even faster, in some cases significantly faster than consumer inflation. So we've seen, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, sometimes 70, 80% increases in the costs of materials, labor, all the costs associated with road construction. So the cost has really gone up.
Yes, inflation. Yeah. Eats away, you know, eats everything away. Now, we talk about roads a lot, but, you know, what about bridges? I mean, the thing is, if the roads get, you know, the roads get bad, that's bad, but the bridges will fall down on you. You know, that's not good stuff. So, I mean, the bad roads, but the bridges will, you know, you don't want stuff falling on you. How are we on bridges? I remember when bridges, suddenly people said, wait a minute, the bridges are actually worse.
Yeah, and statewide, that is true. We're actually fairly fortunate here in Oakland County that our bridges are in fairly decent shape compared to most of the rest of the state. We've been very, very aggressive in going after some special pots of money that allow for both bridge reconstructions and preventative maintenance on bridges. And our bridges, generally speaking, are in relatively decent condition. We've got a couple that we're targeting and trying to get replaced. We'll do a couple more this year in this construction season. But generally speaking, our bridges are much better than the county on or the state on average, and better than most of our neighboring counties, in some cases fairly significantly better. So we're very fortunate in that regard.
Now, one thing we're talking about with roads, there's one big road that goes through called I-75, and that's being rebuilt. And it's kind of interesting to see it all kind of come together. Are you guys involved, or is that just an MDOT or federal thing?
We are not involved. That's strictly a Michigan Department of Transportation. The indirect impacts on us are when there is construction on I-75, a lot of times traffic will shift onto the local roads parallel to the freeway. So, you know, while it was being worked on from 8 Mile up to, 14 Mile, I think, or Square Lake, we saw a great deal of increased traffic on our roads, which of course leads to increased wear and tear. We're now expecting to see that in the northern part of the county, where they'll be working on I-75 in the north end of the county this year. So there is an indirect impact, but we don't have any direct involvement in the construction or the design of I-75.
Well, I've already gotten to know Dixie Highway better than I did before. Get off like just south of Flint, you can roll on past a lot of that construction. But road design, I've gotten you, because look, I grew up in Midland when we had the Midland Circle. So roundabouts, I understand. It was in like the late 60s, it was American Graffiti, going round and round and seeing your pals and mooning people and all that. You know, I mean, really, that was for real. But the ones where you come in and like at, Big Beaver or up at in Rochester, where you go the different ways, that takes some getting used to.
Yeah, the diverging diamonds, yes.
Yeah, that's weird. Like you know.
The first time through is a bit of a shock, but they do. Apparently, the data suggests they function better and they're safer. So MDOT is doing that in a number of places. They did it at 12 Mile at Big Beaver. Over on the west side of the state of the county on 96, and it does seem to be working. Again, you just got to get used to it, like roundabouts. It just takes a little bit of a learning curve, and then the benefits, you know, especially with things like roundabouts, the data is incredibly clear. They're vastly safer in many cases than signalized intersections. The you know, the number of fatalities drops dramatically. The number of serious injury crashes drops dramatically when we put in roundabouts. The data is just amazing on those.
Well, if nothing else, it wakes you up. I mean, you're coming and all of a sudden, like, oh, you've got to pay more attention. So at least it has that. Now, I like roundabouts. I think roundabouts are great because, I grew up doing them. But do they take up more space or, do you have to acquire more land to do it rather than just coming to an intersection?
Well, that's a great question. In many cases, they don't. In many cases, we can fit them in the same footprint of the signalized intersection. But of course, it depends on what the intersection was like before the roundabout. If it was just a very simple two-lane road intersection with no turn lanes, we may need to acquire a little bit of right-of-way. But if it was a signalized intersection with left turn lanes, typically we can pretty much fit it in the available right-of-way. And we try to do that whenever possible because the cost of right-of-way in Oakland County is incredibly expensive. So we try to minimize those costs, not having to buy any more land than we absolutely have to.
Well, late 60s, orbiting, I'm sort of dating myself very much here because first when they got rid of the roundabout, I think in 70 or something, but that's where I got my first ticket there too.
Oh, man.
Yeah, happy days. But so real quick before we run out of time, what's new and what can we look forward to? Something, is going down the road.
Well, we're continuing to do road construction. We're just starting road construction season now. In the general Birmingham area, we've got a couple of projects coming up. We've got a culvert we're going to replace on Eastways, just north of Long Lake Road in Bloomfield Hills. And then once that's done, we're going to replace the culvert on Long Lake, just east of Eastways. So both Eastways and Long Lake will be closed for a period of time each while we replace those culverts. But those are failing culverts that need to be replaced. We're going to do a number of simple resurfacing projects in the area. The little tiny bit of Old Telegraph Road in Bloomfield Township, south of the Pontiac city limits, will be resurfacing. In that same area, Fairfax Street from Gulf Street to Telegraph will resurface. A number of other simple resurfacing projects are Long Lake from Telegraph to Losser will do this year, Kensington from Charing Way to Big Beaver, Charing Cross from Woodward to Wattles, and then Wattles from Charing Cross to Kensington. Those will all be fairly quick and simple resurfacing projects.
It's good because I know the one needs it. Well, we're going to run out of time here, so I'm going to have to let you go. But thank you for talking with me, Craig Bryson, a senior manager of the Road Commission, communications manager, Road Commission for Oakland County. And it's not as easy fixing and keeping those darned roads fixed as it seems. But I'm glad you guys are working on it. All right. And we're going to have to leave it here. So thank you all for joining us here on Eye on Oakland.